When she disappeared, it was just after a very public argument with her husband. He says she probably just ran off with her sorority sisters, but her phone last pinged from their house. This is the story of Suzanne Simpson, the missing woman whose neighbor thinks he heard her scream from the woods. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. My best friend told me about today's case when someone mentioned it in her scrapbooking text group. Killers sometimes love to keep mementos from their crimes, so it only makes sense that scrapbookers would be interested in murder. So thank you, Jamie, for keeping an eye on this story since Suzanne Clark Simpson disappeared in early October 2024. 51-year-old Suzanne lived in Olmos Park, a suburb of San Antonio, Texas, which claims it was developed by an oil tycoon who bought property from an Austrian count. The trees lining the streets there are as big and old as the estates are. Suzanne was raised in San Antonio and graduated from the Texas Military Institute before she got her degree in communications from the University of Texas. A realtor working for her sister-in-law's company, she lived in a stone mansion worth $1.5 million with her 53-year-old realtor husband, Brad Chandler Simpson. They had been married for 22 years, and he was the one who originally reported her missing on October 7th. At first, police took his report at face value, interviewing him about what could have possibly happened to his wife as if he was genuinely concerned. But after witnesses started talking about seeing fights between them, Brad suddenly decided he wasn't interested in helping anymore and stopped showing up to his police interviews. Suzanne's sister said she knew something was wrong immediately when Suzanne missed her morning appointment. "Nobody misses a hair appointment," she said. It seems that they first went to their private members-only dinner club, the Argyle, which boasts that it once entertained celebrities such as Robert E. Lee. Apparently, things got heated between Brad and Suzanne at a party there. They returned home after 9 p.m., and then between 10 and 11 p.m., a neighbor says he saw them having another fight outside their house through his window. He said Brad grabbed Suzanne to control her, and as she tried to escape, he tried to pull her down. The neighbor tried to run out and look for them after grabbing a flashlight, but he couldn't find the couple. But he did hear two or three screams coming from the woodsy area where they had run toward. Then Brad left in his truck an hour later and was gone for a couple of hours. He reported Suzanne missing late the next day, claiming he hadn't seen her since the evening before. Police and neighbors did formal and informal searches of that area by the house, and although a couple of items were found there, they weren't Suzanne's. By that Wednesday, the family home still hadn't been searched, but Brad was arrested at his ranch on the other side of San Antonio all the same. They didn't have any evidence against him for Suzanne's disappearance, but they could get him on two misdemeanors: assault causing bodily injury to a family member and unlawful restraint. He was held on $2 million bail, which was weirdly high. MySanAntonio.com reported that earlier in the year, a man with similar charges was given a $3,000 bond. Local authorities said something was up because the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives had a federal detainment on Brad as well. It was under seal and kept Brad in jail indefinitely. It came out in the following days that one of Brad and Suzanne's children had reported trouble at home between her parents to her school. She told a counselor that Brad had hit Suzanne's face and pushed her against a wall, and that he turned off Suzanne's cell phone. Suzanne's mom said that an hour before she disappeared, Suzanne called to tell her things Brad had done to her physically. She allegedly said that at 9 p.m., Brad had hurt her arm and back. Suzanne's mom said she began to plan for Suzanne to move in with her and leave Brad, but she never got to tell Suzanne that plan.
Is there anything you say to Suzanne right now if she could hear you?
Suzanne, we love you. We need you. And we pray for you.
Do you think that Brad's responsible for her disappearance?
I agree with that. I would like to visit with him and ask him why. What happened?
With still no evidence to go on, The police searched farther-reaching areas where the Simpson family had property in the Texas Hill Country. They searched a landfill that allowed public dumping, where authorities said there was a good chance of finding her body based on their investigation. They began their search on the morning of October 14th and focused on a small area they were confident had something to do with Suzanne's disappearance. The trash underneath had already been compacted and covered with dirt, so they had to dig it up. During the search, Suzanne's brother-in-law, Brad's brother, wrote on Facebook, "Until Brad chooses to cooperate, we will continue to cooperate for him, as we have from the very beginning of this heartbreaking ordeal. This is not how he was raised, and this is not who we are. Our parents instilled in us the values of honoring and protecting others, and they are truly remarkable people. The devastation this has caused to our family is overwhelming. Brad's refusal to cooperate is unacceptable. My sister and brother-in-law have stepped up to take care of the children, but the impact on our parents has been shattering. Our lives have been irreparably changed. We will not rest until we find Suzanne." As the landfill search continued, journalists found out why Brad was being detained by the ATF. While officers were searching Brad and Suzanne's home, a family member told them about a locked walk-in vault that contained an unregistered firearm and several silencers. Brad would be facing a federal charge for the illegal short-barrel rifle. He could have legally owned that gun, but he hadn't registered it like he did the silencers. So one mystery was solved, but the mystery at the landfill remained. After 4 days, nothing had been found, and it wasn't clear what had brought authorities there in the first place. But it was obviously something major because officials said not searching the landfill was not an option. With no evidence, though, they had to move on. Days later, on October 22nd, Brad's former business partner was arrested. The two had worked together at a real estate holding company and managed a janitorial services company together. Brad was sued for bribery as part of his dealings there, but he must have maintained a decent relationship with his business partner because the man was charged with tampering with evidence for helping Brad. Apparently, before the authorities searched the Simpson home, Brad texted the 65-year-old man and said, "If you're in Bandera, can you haul ass and meet me at your house? Make sure to leave all that in the pump house, especially the gun. Sorry for the urgency, but you're all I got, especially now. Social media is destroying me." The man was charged with evidence tampering, a third-degree felony, but it looks like it was later changed to illegal weapon possession, a second-degree felony. The interesting thing is that the charge against him was a higher degree than Brad's, but his bond was 3/4 smaller. A defense attorney said they might just be trying to hold Brad on such a high bond to waste his resources and keep him in jail in the hope that they'd be able to find some actual evidence and get him on more charges. The court said it feared Brad was a danger to others, and he wasn't allowed to see his kids. On the same day his business partner was arrested, Brad was hit with 2 felony charges in addition to his 2 misdemeanors. This time, the charges were for tampering or fabricating with physical evidence and possession of a prohibited weapon. So authorities were ramping up their case. And then finally, on November 7th, Brad was charged with murder. Even though he said Suzanne is probably in Austin, her happy place, with her sorority sisters and just lost her cell phone before she took off. The only thing is, Brad accessed the AT&T app on his phone at the exact time Suzanne's service was cut off, leading investigators to believe that he deactivated it. Also, on the Find My iPhone app, it shows Suzanne's phone as last being at their home. Brad put his phone into lockdown at about 11:09 p.m. on the night he was seen chasing Suzanne into the wooded area, preventing any data from being collected. Brad has also told police conflicting stories, that he saw Suzanne on the morning of October 7th, but also that he didn't. In security videos from around town, Brad is seen with white trash bags and a heavy-duty trash can in the back of his truck that later disappear. He also has something wrapped in a blue tarp with metal on top to hold it down. The thing in the blue tarp also later disappears. Earlier in the day that Brad reported Suzanne missing, he also bought cement, trash bags, bleach, and more from a Home Depot in cash. In the parking lot, he asked someone where the nearest dump was. Again, he put his phone into lockdown after that. Surveillance video later shows Brad driving away from the Kendall County solid waste site. When he was arrested, he didn't seem surprised, and he didn't ask why he was under arrest. He also had cuts and bruises on his hands and arms. During the search of the home, authorities found a burn pile with a laptop and phones that had been set on fire. Splashes of dried cement and Brad's blood were also found on his truck. So yeah, that seems like pretty decent evidence to me in terms of a murder charge, and it's pretty wild to me that he did all of this before reporting his wife missing. On November 12th, the misdemeanor charges against Brad were dropped in favor of, you know, murder. Brad's defense asked to be allowed to see his kids toward the beginning of his lockup, but the district attorney's office said they would put up a fight. Brad and Suzanne's daughter, now 20 years old, has been outspoken on Instagram, writing, "My mom was a victim of abuse from my father. My father took my mother's life in a state of rage and control. In our community, this should not be happening, and I will not stop speaking as the voice of my mother until she is found." You have to wonder what sorts of horrible things she's seen at home. Brad's brother says it demonstrates a concerning lack of empathy for those he claims to love that Brad isn't helping investigators, even if it might jeopardize his freedom. He says Suzanne and Brad dated for years before they got married, and that she fit right in with the family with her bright, positive presence. He says she planned birthday parties and travel for the family and brought them closer together. He says she didn't love cooking, but her mashed potatoes were a favorite all the same. He says she is deeply missed and life just isn't the same without her. It's so refreshing to me to see a family say the real things and not just blindly stand behind their youngest brother. There's still no body and really no motive aside from a history of abuse. On Brad's phone, authorities found notes apologizing for physically hurting Suzanne. A friend admitted that Suzanne said Brad was extremely jealous and would track her. And she told someone in August 2024 that if she went missing, they should look for her in a lake. Investigators continue to search for Suzanne and say they won't stop until they find her. I'll keep you updated as the search continues. Thank you to MySanAntonio.com for their amazing coverage. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.